The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Good morning, Sovereign Mind! Woo! Boom, boom, shakalaka, boom! We got a great show today.
There's just so much going on.
The news cycle is target-rich environment these days. It's just unbelievable how much crap is going on. It couldn't be there's an election coming up or anything like that. But I'm here in the studio, and I'm your host for Sovereign Minds once again. Today is Sunday, October 30th, 2022. And we're brought to you here by, well, we're not brought to you by Mountaintop Media, but we are here, and we do support Mountaintop Media because they support us. And Luke Pearson Construction, Custom Homes and Excavating, licensed and bonded. Shout out to Big O Tires, Jay and the gang. Let's see. I'm here in the great state of Jefferson with my sister, Linda, who does all the heavy lifting.
Good morning. I was going to say something smart, but I'll wait till later to do that.
Well, you might have to think for a while. And so.
Oh, you think so? You think you're the smartest one in the room, do you?
Oh, no, I didn't say that. I just said you would have to think of something smart to say. It might take a few minutes.
This just in. Speaker of the House looking to ban tactical assault hammers.
All right. So I'm also.
Is that all hammers?
And the kid that rocks around the clock fastest, center speeding connection, blah, 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 blah. You know who he is. Cyber Dave Johnson.
Blah, blah, blah. I like that. You get blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Well, that's better than a blah, 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 blah.
Blah, blah, blah.
All right. And we also have as special guest a holdover special / guest host. What does it say? FJB, American.
Let's go, Brandon.
Let's go, Brandon.
Let's go, Brandon.
We've got Mark Baird in the Let's Go, Brandon hat, and I'm,
and we have more guests coming in.
I wanted to talk about the FJB, Obama rally. Did anybody see that? Where they boot him and there's people screaming in the background. He's kind of losing this. He's like, they're all, you know, FJB, FJB. And it was at one of his rallies. And I'm thinking, well, you know, not going so good for the Democrats.
Was it like all 12 of them were doing that? Or the whole audience?
Yeah, there was like a whole audience almost of his audience.
So at least 14 people.
Yeah, at least 14. Come on, Mark, you know.
Anyway, Mark Baird is with us as well. And we're talking all things Second Amendment. And, gosh, where do we even start? I mean, I don't even know. I got a few stories that we want to probably cover here and there. But other than that, I mean, I think...
I've got a few announcements.
Oh, go for your announcements.
All right. So to start with, remember, next Saturday is the Veterans Parade in Shasta Lake City, and it starts at 10 a.m. It's one of the largest Veterans Parades north of Sacramento. So come out and show your support. It's a lot of fun. Again, that's at 10 a.m. And then on 11-11-11, we have services out at IGO for Veterans Day. So come join out there. And then also we have coming on December 3rd, we have what we call the Servicemen's Feast. We're bringing it back. We will be supplying a lunch dinner for all veterans, police, and emergency people and their families. And it's free, and it's a whole holiday dinner at the VFW Hall in Anderson.
There you have it.
On December 3rd. And then we got a few more, but I'll stop there.
You could go on. I don't care.
That's all right. Well, so,
Okay.
I think Wreaths Across America is now changed to Wreaths for Heroes is December 19th out at the cemetery at 11 a.m.
Okay.
You know, I think people should take their kids out there.
I totally agree.
I think children and young people need to understand that not just in that cemetery, but in shallow holes all over the world are our brothers and sisters who left everything they had, and their families still suffer that grief and bled for this nation and for the things that you enjoy, such as they are. And you were getting behind on that. But
well, I think the next generation is going to have to, get, I don't know, baptized, if you will, in this patriot movement and back into the patriotism that has been the founding of this country since the beginning, because that's what we're all about. We were just talking about it over the break a little bit there about the education system and what they've introduced and taken out of the school books. And we're seeing so many different things that are going on out there. It's like, oh, gee, it's okay to teach CRT. Oh, we're not teaching that. Oh, yes, you are. And it's okay to teach everybody to be racist. And it's okay to teach that the answer to all our problems is government. You know, we didn't learn that in school.
Well, it's also okay to teach that there is one mammal on this planet where it is acceptable and even a good thing to kill its child within the womb. And also, even though no other mammal on this planet does that, but it's okay for us to do that. But it is not okay to teach children who signed the Declaration of Independence and what those people were about and what their thoughts were and what their hopes and dreams were.
To what you
were saying about the children should find out about the brothers and sisters that lost their lives to protect this country and stuff, and about the pauper graves that they're finding more and more of these people.
Yes.
You know, that's very important that they should know that history.
And also the disabled guys, the amputees, the double amputees, the quadriplegics.
Yes.
I mean, literally, they gave their blood, their treasure, and their sacred honor for this country. And we don't even know who the hell they are or why they did it.
You know, for a long time we've had a government in place that's not doing it for the benefit of the people. You know, that doesn't disparage any of the people that gave their lives and everything to fight for what they believed was a cause for freedom. But there's a little bit of a disconnect when we look at our government now and the wars that they're sending us into in Vietnam, for example, about oil and all this stuff. But that doesn't mean that the people who fought were any less honorable.
That's right.
No.
And so that's what you got to look at, because government has always been man's worst enemy since the beginning of time. And we made an experiment in 1776 to put the government in place that was supposed to be there for the benefit of the people, not for the benefit of the people who were in power.
Yeah.
And now we've flipped that switch around, and they're trying to go right back to the feudal system, basically. You know, this whole progressive movement of going forward is really going back. They're going back pre-1776, where you just had a few guys in charge, and now with technology on a world scale, they're trying to put them in charge of everything.
Yeah. We have a king in California, and I was talking to Mark when I came in about a quote that I found about King John and King Gavin. They said this about King John: when he goes to hell, he will absolutely despoil that place.
You can't get any lower than that one. And when Satan's saying, hey, this guy stinks.
And gruesome Gavin Newsom, who says that if a minor child can succeed in making his way to California, either by trafficking or by hook or by crook, and he wants to have his boy parts cut off and have girl parts mended, that we will help him with taxpayers' dollars, and he's erecting billboards in other states, come to California, we will help you kill your children here.
I'm telling you, I don't think that Gavin, I think we got to start calling him Gavin the Terrible, because he's on the same par as Ivan
wicked.
The Terrible.
He is so really wicked. Yeah.
Hell will absolutely be a worse place with him in it.
Can you think of any place that, I can't think of anybody that rises to the, well maybe Gavin, that rises to the height of being booted out of hell.
There
is a couple other ones.
Or being bad that they won't let him in start with.
I think he's in the same thing with, I mean, Jeffrey Dahmer's the next one that comes to mind.
Well, And before we go to our caller, I have one more announcement. There is a change of location. There's a Veterans town hall coming up with the VSO. There's some issues going with the VSO office here. And it's changed to Wednesday, November 9th at 10 a.m. And I believe, let me look here, where it was changed. I think it's to the Board of Supervisors chambers, but I'll double check on that. They're trying to do away or move the VSO office here. And,
why?
Well, there's a couple different things going on. Some has to do with money and put it under the CAO of the county. And this is kind of a last minute thing that they were trying to, slip under the rug, so to speak. And people got wind of it. So anyway, there's more to come on that, and I'll have more on that.
Well, you're going to see more and more money problems across the board because the money is being devalued exponentially across the board, and it's going to get worse and worse and worse for everybody.
Well, I do know the VSO officer gets paid less than any other position in the county for that same level.
What I'm saying is fund is going to start drying up for a lot of things just because we're right or wrong or good or bad.
Right, yeah.
I mean, I'm not even stating that as much as I'm saying that you can't keep spending, a $1 trillion that you don't have every year forever and not have there be a problem with the value of the currency. And when I say currency, I mean currency, not money. I'm talking about fiat currency that's being, exponentially
paper
that's being shoved into the worldwide economy, and it's turning into a real problem. And so this whole thing is getting ready to blow up, in my opinion, and that indicates to me that you need to protect your Second Amendment right even more so.
Right. So anyway, yes, it's at Board of Supervisor Chamber at 1450 Court Street, and you have to do RSVP by November 4th. You got to call 225-5616 and push option 1.
All right.
And with that,
you want to go to caller, or do you have something to say, Mark?
No. Okay.
We'll go to Stone. Good morning, Stone.
Morning, everybody. How's my volume?
It could be a little bit louder.
All right. How's
there
that?
There you go.
Hey, I'm Mark Baer's co-plaintiff in the case, I had my permit yanked by former sheriff. It was Pasenko. Too many sheriffs are trying to figure out who's in office. Anyways, my felony complaint that I filed against Pasenko, I'm still waiting to hear back from current Sheriff Johnson. So we're well over past.
Is that the same Johnson that's supporting all of the Sierra Pacific people?
Oh, yeah.
How long has that been?
13 months. He has done an administrative investigation, which I have the documents, but I sent him a certified letter 6 weeks ago now. And I said, I never asked you for an administrative investigation. I cited criminal penal codes, and so that should have told you I want a criminal investigation. And 6 weeks later, I still haven't heard back from his office. So
do me a favor, will you?
And
do me a favor and send those PDFs to the attorney and a short synopsis of what's been going on, because that's perfect. The state alleges in their their rebuttal to our motion for PI that, you have the ability to concealed carry, so why do you need the right to openly carry? Well, you may have the ability to concealed carry, but you certainly aren't being allowed to do it. So, I mean, that kind of goes in the face of the main argument that they have.
Kind of reminds me of that Ron White joke where he says when they're getting arrested and they're pounding the crap out of him, he had the ability to remain silent, but he didn't have he had the right to remain silent, but he didn't have the ability.
He didn't have the pain tolerance to remain silent, right? So please send copies of those documents to the attorney and send a short, a very short synopsis, because that kind of stuff is totally valuable in oral argument. Those are the places to bring that out. Because it refutes everything the state says or alleges. They allege that you can carry. If you can carry, why do you need the right to carry?
Yeah, it's catch 22.
Yeah, I agree with you, Mark. The key here is that Johnson, in my opinion, is protecting Pasenko and will not do a criminal investigation.
Well, Peruta v. San Diego says you don't have the right to concealed carry anyway. It's a permission, so who cares what he's doing? He's doing something that's lawful under Ninth Circuit precedent, and your right is to openly carry a weapon for which no permission is required. So you can argue about what they're doing. And I don't disagree with you on that. It is a valid argument, and it's wrong, and it's unlawful, and it's unconstitutional. But common law for the day is that concealed carry is a permission, not a right. States can do whatever they want. They can be corrupt. Yeah. They can sell permits to the highest bidder that gives the highest political campaign contribution.
Well, that's why you have this court case.
Right. They can strip your concealed carry for no reason whatsoever, even if it's an illegitimate reason. And that's why we're fighting the fight we're in. And we need to know all of that ancillary stuff, because it flies in the face of the logic the state gives, which is, oh, no, you have the ability to carry almost everywhere in some circumstances. And
well, it's circular logic.
It's circular logic.
It's ridiculous.
Exactly. So please send those documents. Very important.
Yeah, and the attorney is aware of my situation initially. I just have to send her the most recent.
Yeah, please do.
So she's already aware of it, but I'll do that today. And then I've got some election commentary and some information. So, Kathy Allen, oh, my God.
Where do we begin?
We could do a whole show on Kathy Allen.
I know.
Maybe we will next week.
Well, maybe so. So let me. I'll go quickly then. So you know, a lot of news stories released this week by Kathy Allen into the record terrific searchlight, whatever you guys want to call that, rack. But you know, Kathy Allen is only telling part of the story on what happened on June 7th, this past June 7th primary evening at the registrar's office. I was there for several hours. I witnessed almost all of the events that she reported to the paper this week. And, of course, she only reports, you know, her version and only gives two parts, you know, of the eight-part, recipe. And, of course, Damon Author, the author of that article, I emailed him, hey, dude, I got the other six parts of the recipe. Would you like them? Nothing but crickets from him, so I don't think he's interested, but... You know, here's the deal. She's calling us aggressive and inappropriate behavior on June 7th. Well, that is her opinion. There was a sheriff's deputy there at the back door in the alleyway. He sat there and just observed, and we were talking and rapping and just having fun. He never arrested, trespassed, warned, removed, nothing to anybody that was there. Yes, there was a few heated arguments. Can you say First Amendment, folks? Okay? And that's all we were doing there that night. We were exercising our First Amendment to speak to Kathy Allen regarding our concerns on the election, and our freedom of assembly. We were exercising that. And Kathy Allen is just, she's triggered. She, you know, you saw the $80,000 special election we're going to need because her office made a major mistake on the current ballot. And then she sends out, look in the chat room, she sends out a flyer the very same week. That she's going to cost us $80,000.
Well, I received two of them.
What a good job her office is doing.
I think what you're seeing, a lot of these tactics are being exposed, Rich, because everybody's catching on to the fact that when you stand up and you stand up for your rights, or you stand up to say that you disagree or whatever it happens to be, and you want to enforce the law, whatever it is, then you're all of a sudden violent. All of a sudden you're an extremist. Yeah. All of a sudden, you know, you just need to go away quietly. And people aren't going away quietly anymore. They're not going away. And that's the they're having a real problem with it, because, you know, people have had enough of their liberal left-wing communist Marxist Saul Alinsky crap, and that's why this election I think is going to be historic.
And besides that, Rich, one other thing is, and this is really, you know, everybody listen to this, you don't have any rights in California. You have none. They are gone. We lost them. We allowed them to slip away. I don't care whose fault it is, but we have no rights in California that government doesn't approve of and grant on some limited basis when they feel like it, and deny on other times when they don't feel like it. We don't have any rights here. That's what my case is about, and that's what we should all be fighting for, is the restoration of rights, so that people like Darling or whoever it is doing these things on a county level or a city level can be gotten rid of. And the way to do that is break this state into thirds so that we have smaller districts and adequate representation, and you know all this stuff. But don't kid yourself. You think you have a First Amendment right? Try exercising it.
Well,
you think you have a Second Amendment right? Try to exercise it.
Here's where I disagree to. I understand what you're saying. From a legal argument, you're absolutely spot on correct. From a legal argument with the state's laws, but from an argument of do I have a right given from God that they can't take away?
Absolutely.
Absolutely
you do.
We do. So our rights are only intact as long as we stand up and say we are not going to give them away.
Correct. That's my point.
Yeah. Okay, and I agree with Mark, too. That his legal argument, I agree with him. However, we are trying to reclaim our rights. When Citizen Journalist, when we went out and did the vaccine coverage, they called the cops on us. They tried to kick us out. We asserted our freedom of press rights. We did not leave. We did not back down, and we won those battles. June 7th at the elections office, we asserted our rights, freedom of assembly and freedom of speech. We asserted those. We did not back down.
Now you're talking.
That small battle. And we won that small battle. Guess what? It's going to happen again on November 8th. We're going to do the same things down there. There'll be police there. Personally, the police do not want to step in it. When you say, sir, we're not interfering, obstructing, anything. We're not intimidating anybody. That's subjective, by the way. When they say they feel intimidated, that is subjective. And the cops do not want to step in it by violating our civil rights. Absolutely, they do not.
Now you've said the most important thing. Whenever you assert the right, you win the battle. And if enough people assert the right, because we have the right and government is wrong to prevent that activity, now we can win these rights and now we can assert these rights until finally they become the law of the land as well as the fact of the land.
Well, we're definitely in a battle, and I think it's between good and evil right now. And their perspective is the beatings will continue until the morale improves.
Yeah.
One more thing, and I'll get out of here.
On June 7th, the sheriff's deputies were there. I already said that. Now, Kathy Allen called RPD. I was in the back alleyway talking with the sheriff's deputy. RPD walks up to two of them, and they're like, oh, wow, we didn't know there was a deputy here. Is there any problems here? The deputy says, no, everything is great. RPD says they turned around and went back to the donut shop or whatever. I'm like, I mean, it's just amazing how Kathy Allen has been sticking the government on us. She's called Homeland Security, Attorney General, Secretary of State.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many government agencies is she going to try to stick on us? Oh, by the way, who sticks the government agencies on their free
people? Well, do you know what it tells me, Rich? I'll tell you what.
Who does that? Democratic socialist.
Do you know what it tells me, Rich?
On the people.
Rich, do you know what it tells me is that I smell a rat. Okay, we've been getting more and more evidence of this voter fraud, of voter suppression, you know, stuffing the ballot boxes, the Dominion voting machines hooked to the internet, you know, changing the numbers, and to think that she's not a part of that system, I think is fooling yourself. Oh, she's a nice little old lady. No, I think she might be a little old lady, but I think she's a conniving, self-serving, democratic operative. That's what I think. And she won't let anybody prove otherwise by examining the evidence.
So I would like Mark's opinion on Assembly Bill 2582.
Which Mark?
Which
Mark?
Oh, thank you. Your guest, Mark. I'll put it in the chat so he can bring up the link and read the law. I would like his opinion before the end of the show.
Give me the down and dirty on it, because I'm not in a position to look it up right now, so just give me the quick.
The recall, they just passed the law. The recall ballot used to have two parts, vote yes or no for a recall, and then you selected the successor. They took that away, Mark. Assembly Bill 2582 passed last month. The voters no longer get to pick the successor. They will be appointed. Anyways, let me get out of here. Great show, and I'll keep listening. Thanks, guys.
Well, my comment is that surprises me not.
Not especially here in California.
No.
With everything else that's going on.
Yeah, I mean, the Accaldi speaks again.
Well,
yeah.
King Gruesome.
King Gruesome. Gruesome Newsom. Gavin the Terrible. Yeah.
So here's
Dave.
Here's one on the subject. So Arizona TV stations shocks viewers by airing graphic showing Kari Lake lost 12 days before the midterms. So Fox 10 ended up airing this graphic that showed Katie Hobbs winning by 53% of the vote and Kari Lake losing with 47% of the vote.
Well, you know,
12 days before.
While we're on the subject of these guys and their sloppy, crappy deal, let's talk about Liz Cheney for just a second. Did anybody catch that letter that Kari Lake wrote Liz Cheney? So Liz Cheney was basically going after Kari Lake to say that, you know, she's not going to make governor, she's no good, all of this stuff. And then this letter came out, 2 days ago, and it's a letter from Kari Lake to Liz Cheney. And it's addressed to Liz Cheney, defeated member of Congress, Wyoming Wyoming and P.O. Box and so forth. Dear Liz, thank you for your generous in-kind contributions to my campaign. Your recent television ad urging Arizonans not to vote for me is doing just the opposite. Our campaign donations are skyrocketing and our website nearly crashed from traffic as people rush to learn more about my plan to put Arizona first and join our historic political movement. In fact, my team tells me your commercial should add another 10 points to our lead. I guess that's why they call the Cheney anti-endorsement gift that keeps on giving. While we appreciate your in-kind contribution, the $500,000 to the ad that by likely exceeds Arizona's 5,300 individual contribution limit. Thank you again for the huge boost to our campaign. Enjoy your forced retirement in, from politics. I know America will be rest easier knowing that one more warmonger is out of office. Now, I think the gloves are off, okay, across the board, and I think the Democrats are losing, but that is no reason to not go out and pound get in there, get your friends in there, whoever you can, vote in this election, because I think if the numbers are overwhelming enough, they can't cheat their way
out. Well, we're going to have to go to a break, and then I have a comment before we bring on our other guest that's in the studio. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
What's his name? name again? That's Queen, obviously, but I can't think of his name. But another one bites the dust, and we're still standing.
Yeah. And we will keep on standing. But before we move on, I just had a few things to say about our local elections office. You know, she's always... I got to be careful of my words. She's always on about how much we cost her to do the recall, how much it costs the taxpayers for this,
how much
for that. Okay. So it's costing us over $82,000 for her mistake. Then she sends out these postcards, and I don't know how many she sent out.
What
a good job she's doing. I do know what it costs to send these postcards out. And it isn't cheap. So she probably spent upwards of $30,000 for these postcards.
I'd like to know a number just because I don't.
How many did she send it to every voter?
I got one.
I got two in my house, and that means that my neighbors got at least two. So that's four to the same address.
They're really nice.
Yeah. And you know, we're a democracy. According to her, we are. You got to take her at her word. She knows what she's doing.
A constitutional republic, if you can keep it.
But anyway, but she doesn't want us to look at anything that's going on in our county with the voting.
Do you know what I like?
And her election office for the last 20 years.
Do you know what I like? You just need to trust us. It's not been the theme here lately in this, especially in this county, yeah. I guess, is that, we're here from the news. All you gotta do is trust us.
You know, she reminds me of the snake in the tree that says, trust me.
I think trust with just verification trust was probably the way to go. We probably should introduce our next guest here in the studio.
We've got Gary Hoffley in the studio with us.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for coming in. And we are talking everything Second Amendment.
You might want to put on the armor of God here.
We're just going to keep going like with Mark's case that's coming up and what's happening in our county with the Second Amendment. And that's what we're here to talk about.
Okay. Now that we've got a pregnant pause and... Maybe there's a question here or something. I don't know. Okay.
Wait. Just in. She also sent out a letter to everybody in regards to the election.
Maybe I didn't get that one. What was that?
I don't know. I just got this in from a friend. And,
we're from the elections office. You will shut up and vote as you are told.
You're on nothing, and you will like it.
As your Shasta County elections officials, we work every day to update and maintain an accurate list of voters. How much BS is that? Every day we add and take people off? Really?
I did say something in open session at the Board of Supervisors about my son, who's been out of the state for 4 years. And I did get a postcard that I sent back saying that he hasn't been here and he's no longer eligible to vote in the county or the state of California. And in fairness, I think that me saying that in open session, I finally did get a card that asked if he was still up there.
And did you see her reaction in the audience? She shook her head. That's not true.
It actually was.
I know.
Yeah. Anyway.
So here's a story as of October 29th on the subject. This is from the Daily Caller. A disturbing movement is picking up steam on the left, letting non-citizens vote. Voting has been long one of the privileges of American citizenship, but perhaps not for much longer. Left-wing activists are going all in with their demands to let non-citizens vote, and Washington, D.C. just took up the charge.
It's backfiring in Florida and Arizona and Texas, I think, too.
Okay, one more thing. I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
District 2, I just got word in District 2 to send out a postcard for just District 2 costs $5,000.
Oh.
Just for District 2. And we have
we got five districts. Last time I checked, so 5 times 5, in theory, would be $25,000.
Easy.
Of whose money did they use?
Yeah, that's so. There you go.
Thank you. Go ahead, Mark.
I just would like to jump into a short synopsis so that your other guest, Gary, can make a comment on it. And what we hope to prove in our Second Amendment case against the state of California is that the defendants, the state, And we, the plaintiffs, can prove that both facially and as applied, our challenge is that we can prove the state acted unconstitutionally on the weakest of premises with complete disregard for the document they swore an oath to uphold in order to disarm the law-abiding individuals of this state and further to disarm the minorities of this state in order to denigrate an enumerated right to a highly restricted and seldomly granted permission. And that's what we hope to prove in order to reinstate the Second Amendment liberty to openly carry a loaded or unloaded handgun throughout the state of California without government permission.
It's interesting they went after the minorities to get it.
That's how they did it in 1917. In 1917, they got concealed carry because the sheriff of Los Angeles County claimed that Pancho Villa and his men were sneaking across the border with guns stuck in their pants in order to murder Los Angelinos in their beds.
And why wouldn't you want them to have guns then?
Well, because they might have liberty then, and you wouldn't want that because the king has no control over his subjects if they have the ability to resist tyranny. And then in 1968, they disarmed black people and unfortunately had to do it to the rest of us in order that urban blacks in Oakland couldn't defend themselves against police tyranny, what they perceived was police tyranny. And in addition to that, that same week, the Saturday Night Special law passed, and I don't know if you remember that, but I mean, I remember my dad, you know, he had a bunch of pistols that were Ivor Johnsons. They were kind of cheap pistols, but they were pistols a guy like him could afford. And they outlawed all the Saturday Night Specials because those were the guns typically affordable by poor people in urban areas.
I'm dressing my kids
so they disarmed the people. They disarmed your ability to openly carry a loaded weapon, which was the law in California since pre-California, Mexican rule, Spanish rule, through United States rule up until 1968, in order to prevent minorities from being able to defend themselves, and in conjunction with that, all the rest of us too.
Who's the racist here? I want to hear Gary's reply to that.
Well, I just want to thank you guys for letting me come on this morning. I just want to introduce myself. I'm the current chairman for the California Rifle and Pistol
Association. And I'm a member, by the way.
Great, thank you.
Even though they don't want to help with the case, I'm still a member. I still believe in the organization.
Absolutely, and I have my own concerns sometimes about how organizations work.
Sure.
I'll share some ideas with you later. But going back to the original intent of the Second Amendment, Joseph Story, one of our first Supreme Court justices, said, "The right of the citizens to keep and bear arms has justly been considered the palladium of the liberties of a republic, since it offers a strong moral check against the usurpation and arbitrary powers of rulers, and will generally, even if these are successful in the first instance, enable the people to resist and triumph over them."
Amen.
This is not about hunting.
No.
It is about, you know, going back. First, I also want to state I am not a historian. I'm not an attorney. I'm a local businessman. I love to read. I collect old history books. So I have a little bit of knowledge that can make me dangerous in some people's opinion, maybe. But
you're probably not alone in this room.
But looking back at the creation of the Constitution, when they were looking at drafting the Constitution, you had your Federalists and Anti-Federalists. And the Anti-Federalists were really concerned about how the Constitution was being framed. And so they really pushed hard for a Bill of Rights, and they all came up with different versions of what it was, and eventually we came up with the 10 that we have. That Second Amendment, as it was written, there's two parts of it. You got the militia aspect of it, and that goes back to the point of whether it was I can't remember the term, but you had two different terms. You had one that was
prefatory and then operative, or the two.
The militias has always been a strong part of it. We have militias throughout our nation today, and we're all considered bad people.
Can I stop you just for a second? Because I'm not familiar with those two terms I know, screwed up as that seems. I'd like to know what they meant.
Well, the Second Amendment has two clauses in it. The prefatory clause is a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. And then there's the operative clause. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. So the one enables.
I see what you're saying.
The one is a true fact, and the other enables it to be true. In addition to other things.
So instead of just having one line, you have the right to keep and bear arms. This was compounding the issue to drill down the point.
Well, it drilled the point in two different directions,
right?
Because it was never considered to be a group right. In other words, the people does apply to individuals as stated in several, many,
right.
many
Supreme Court cases. So it's not just a select militia or whatever.
No. It's, in fact, who is the militia?
It is us.
Richard Harry Lee said it is the entire body of the people. So
not to interrupt, but I wanted to get that cleared up because I'd never heard that quite put that way.
Yeah.
And so you have the militia aspect and the right to bear arms aspects. Well, there's a lot of local politicians here in our county. I can tell you our sheriff, our members of our board of supervisors, they don't really support the first aspect of it, the militia aspect of it. They'll pay homage to the fact that you have the right to bear arms, but they do not.
Maybe that's the biggest problem we got right now is there's too many politicians in Shasta County.
Well, that might be so, but the fact is that they're dissecting the Second Amendment and cherry-picking which parts they want to keep.
That's well said.
And you don't get to do that.
You don't get to do that.
It was in the early 1900s when the federal government came out and changed the definition of the militia to what we have today. And this is a short version of now what we have is the National Guard is to replace the organized part, which would be the organized militia, and the unorganized ones would be the rest of us that are there to protect our country if ever need be from any foreigners.
Which, by the way, is codified in California Veterans Military Code. The disorganized militia is codified.
Well, tyranny always seems to creep in at first until it's too late to see, until you can't help but see it, you know. And so it's like a Trojan horse. They start, you know, with little bits and pieces and chipping away at the rock until they get where they're going. And whether it's purposeful or not doesn't even matter because a lot of times these people have good intentions and we know what the road to hell is paved with as well. Yeah. So keep going, Gary. This is interesting.
So you have I'm just going to jump ahead here to where we are with the Second Amendment here in Shasta County. The California Rifle and Pistol Association's local chapter, the Shasta County Gun Owners, submitted a Second Amendment resolution to our Board of Supervisors in July of 2020. They had that resolution. There was a lot of discussions between Chairman Comente at the time and the CRPA in Fullerton. And then on May 25th, at the very end of their six-hour-long meeting, Mr. Modi made a motion to never have that Second Amendment resolution. He directed the motion was that they would direct the staff to never put that Second Amendment resolution on the agenda for consideration. And it was passed by Comente, Rickard, and Modi.
And that can only happen for their terms. It can always be brought up with other supervisors. But that's one of the reasons Modi got recalled. I mean, that was another straw on the camel's back is that, you know, this guy it became so painfully obvious if he showed up to these meetings that he was not working for the benefit of the people. You know, whatever benefit he was working for, well, maybe we can go and speculate. But the real deal was everything he did was not for the benefit of the community.
And we've seen it time and time again on different issues, not just Second Amendment, State of Jefferson. There were several things that we had with him.
Right. But to expand that, there is no sheriff in California that's a constitutional sheriff, not one, because they all have had the ability to may issue open carry permits since 2012, and not one single one of them, not one, not anywhere, not ever, has ever issued one, and those are good in counties with less than 200,000, like Shasta.
Well,
they're only good in your own county, but...
Well, there should be a shall, not a may, because a shall, there's a big difference in the legal terms from shall and may.
The Supreme Court ordered the Ninth Circuit, specifically California courts, to abide by the guidance in Bruin versus New York Rifle and Pistol Association. They address that issue, and guess what? SB 918 didn't pass, which would have made it worse than it is now. And when you read 26150 and 26155, they still say may issue, and the state in its filing says California has given all authority to sheriffs and police chiefs to decide who may carry a weapon on the streets and cities of California.
Which is a complete circumvention of the Second Amendment to begin with. So let's go back. Let's continue our line of thinking here. So they got the Second Amendment sanctuary bill. You tried to get it introduced into the Board of Supervisors, and basically they squashed it.
They did. They left an avenue that if somebody else were to present something to them, that they would consider it. Mr. Baugh and Mr. Comente were really hopeful that we would get something from the California Rifle and Pistol Association so that it wouldn't be what they call just bumper stick politics, because that's what they were calling the resolution.
Oh, so that's like something the people want.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. So you don't want to be for something the people want, but if it's an official organization, you'll at least consider that.
That's correct.
Okay.
So Mr. Comente, as the chairman at the time, he cut off ties with Fullerton and Communication and went along with Modi's motion to squash that resolution.
I'm shocked. I'm completely shocked.
Well, we went back to the books. We reworded it. We took out a lot of stuff. Previously, on the previous resolution, it was not endorsed by the CRPA. But this time it was. It was endorsed by the California Rifle Pistol Association on August 19th of this year. This letter here, it was addressed to Mr. Baugh and the supervisors. They all got a copy of it, plus the revised resolution that we have. It has been in their hands ever since. It has been given to Mr. Ruben Cruz for revision. I have it under good authority that he's made some revisions to it, and the biggest revision that we're seeing in this is that it's taking out the...
Who gave that guy the right or the authority or any of that to make revisions at all?
Well, that's one of my questions that I would love to have. Mr. Baugh and
what a stooge, and
three of the other supervisors who I've emailed to requesting if they have any questions or concerns about that, I've not heard a word back from any of them.
What revision did he make?
Well, I don't know them in detail, but I know that he's made revisions, and the biggest revision he took out was the on where it says whereas number 8, and it says that violates the Second Amendment as originally written and intended. So what they love to do is they love to take out the Constitution and put it under the we'll follow the law of legal precedence. So whatever the law says, that's now what we're going to do.
That's so right on line with what we're talking about. It's such bull crap that they would do that, because what they're trying to do is keep it in the system of the courts as opposed to a legal right that's already completely in stone.
And that's something else that the Bruin Court expressly rejected. They said even when case law violates the plain text of the amendment takes precedent,
right.
Meaning the Second Amendment, and in addition to that, that if case law is founded on an interpretation that does not date back to 1791, then the plain text takes precedent over that historical interpretation as well. So in other words, the amendment and what Justice Thomas says, the amendment means what it says it means, in that the founders understood the language to mean a certain thing, and that amendment means that thing today, no matter what government says, and no matter what laws they've passed, and no matter what courts have said about it. In the meantime, unless that court spoke at the time of the founding, that was 1791. And even Justice Taney, in the Dred Scott decision, denied Dred Scott his right to become a human being, not because he wanted him to remain a slave, but because he was afraid that if he found for Dred Scott, that all black people would be able to carry firearms openly and in public anywhere they wanted to go in the United States, and that was in 1803.
Boy,
wow. So as far back as 1803, there was no prohibition to the open carry of a loaded weapon anywhere you wanted to go, unless you were black or a Mexican or maybe an Indian, then there were prohibitions. But those obviously fall by the wayside for obvious reasons.
Obvious, because freedom, you know, real freedom, you know, not constrained by government and maybe constrained by God and the Ten Commandments, is hard to circumvent in a legal manner that makes sense.
It's impossible to do it in a way that makes sense, and anything that doesn't make sense is tyranny.
Well, and I agree. To the point that you mentioned about the prohibitions, it wasn't until the 1960s when you ended up having the ruling that came down to where you couldn't carry any firearms in a government building, and that was based upon...
Sensitive places are all mid-20th century or later law, which by in the light of Bruin are absolutely without force and effect. even though the Supreme Court said that sensitive places are not totally out of bounds. However, there must be a historical precedent. Now, you could make that case for government buildings, although during the Civil War, Spencer went over to the White House with his newly invented carbine, the Spencer carbine. He knocked on the door. Somebody let him in. He went over to Lincoln's office with his brand new carbine, knocked on the door. Lincoln let him in. He showed him this carbine. He said, "Hey, I got a gun that might help you win this war." And Lincoln says, "Let's go up, out back and shoot it a little bit." So they went out back.
Different times,
and
boy.
Lincoln fired it. And then he gave it to Spencer. He says, "Now you show me what this thing will actually do." And he was so impressed, he ordered the War Department to get as many as they could. Now, that is how far afield we've come. And so I ask you, do you trust a government that doesn't trust you?
Go back. Okay, no, let's go back.
I just
to the
have
Board
a question when you're talking about the Board of Supervisors about Rubin Cruz. So let me get this straight. The paper, the resolution goes to Rubin Cruz, and then he does whatever he wants to.
He hasn't done anything but changed it, possibly.
Right. But he doesn't go before the Board of Supervisors, and they do not go through this resolution?
There has been no communication back to us, and I've not heard of any communication. I look on the
so he becomes God of the resolution?
No, I don't think so. I think what is going to happen is that it's kind of sitting on ice right now. And what's probably going to happen is they're waiting for this election to see the new who the new Board of Supervisors
is. To see which way the wind blows.
Exactly. Which way does the wind blow? Because if the wind blows one way, then it's probably going to die. Yeah. If it blows the other way, it's probably going to be brought forth.
Right. So let me share you with what we've done. Back in December of 2020, we put on a debate, and we asked 19 different people to come and to just discuss the Second Amendment. That was it. We only got the sheriff from Tehama County and Patrick Jones to show up.
Wow.
At the time, we asked Aaron Reznor, who was our mayor, to come. Never heard, never declined to come. There were several people that did the same. Even the local sheriff at the time did not show up. So what we decided to do again during this election cycle was to have another debate, one where Kellstrom, Cry, Reznor, and Browning could come. So we sent out letters to all of them. We only got affirmations from Kellstrom and Cry. We sent two other letters out to Browning and to Reznor. Again, nope, we're not coming. Browning never responded at all. We got a response from Reznor's campaign manager, said she wouldn't come. So we sent out another letter. Would you please? These are the topics that we're going to discuss. Would you please respond to any of them? And we never heard back. So
and these are the and these are the supposed conservatives, by their own admissions.
Except they run on a Democratic ticket.
They run backed by Democrats, a Democratic ticket, backed by a very far-left organization, CR4, which, by the way, I've done quite a bit of research on. And if you look at the members of that group, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of Planned Parenthood stickers and SEIU. And
now you got Sierra Pacific coming out and being blatant that they're supporting them as
and
well.
And you know something, that's all fine, as long as you're up front with it and tell us who you are. Right. This idea that you're going to tell us who you are, but it's not really who you are, it's who you want us to think you are, is really puts a burr under my saddle. But
more thing. The sheriff, that really is disturbing. Goes back to what Mark was saying. He didn't even attend or want to have anything to do with it?
On the on the one back in 2020, our local sheriff at that time never showed up. Okay? So, so to me, and there was never any explanation as to why, he just didn't show up.
He just didn't show up.
So, I don't have a great deal of confidence in our sheriff, and I say that with the greatest deal of respect for him and where he stands. But we need in this country people that are not going to be afraid of political pushback. You need to do the right thing. We have a constitution, and that's what we need to abide by.
Yeah, and they take an oath to that constitution. Well, I'm sorry. They take an oath.
Warriors. You know, the real deal is we're in a time in our history where we need warriors, not milquetoast people that are just trying to get along or, you know, who are just trying to stay under the radar. We need people who are going to go in and fight for our rights because that's what's at risk. It's our freedom is at risk. Our rights are at risk.
Our
very livelihood
is at
risk. We don't need people that are trying to avoid that fight. We need people that understand it and that are in it.
So what you're saying is strong men create good times, and good times breed weak men, and weak men create hard times.
Maybe in a little different way.
Maybe.
And I in preparing to come and see you guys, and I tried to make myself as well-versed as I can so that I can give some information to your listeners.
Okay? Sure, sure.
It goes back. So we have the Declaration of Independence. We have our Constitution and the Bill of Rights.
I'm sorry, I'm going to have to stop you. We have to go to a break. We're at a hard break. They're going to go ahead and do it whether we like it or not. And let's pick that up on the other side of this break.
That's great.
Yeah.
All right.
Great.
I don't care if they're big or small, if they're for sale, hell, I want them all. I like guns. I like guns. I like guns.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
Wounded earlier today. The bridge had recently reopened to the public after renovation. The heartache continues in Seoul, South Korea, scene of a deadly crowd surge that claimed more than 150 people's lives at a Halloween festival, a massive crowd of celebrants crammed into a narrow street. BBC photojournalist Ho-Soo Lee described the scene.
What I saw was a lot of ambulances, a big thousands of crowds, still bodies covered in blue sheets. And there were a lot of medical staff, a lot of ambulances that were taking the bodies away one by one. There was a ton of crowd and a ton of police around them.
Janelle Story was a witness.
We just wanted to feel that fun and freedom of Halloween 2022, finally, less restriction. It really was just meant to be fun and dress up and have a good time. And it very quickly became more than that. It became an actual horror.
9 days to the midterm elections, and Arizona's Republican Attorney General says county officials can hand count all ballots in at least 5 races.
The opinion gives a green light to GOP officials in at least 2 counties who've been clamoring for hand counts. The efforts are driven by concerns over election results back in 2020. The new Attorney General opinion led 2 Republicans on the 3-member Cochise County Board of Supervisors to boost their plan to hand count some races in both early and Election Day ballots. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says her husband Paul's condition continues to improve. He's recovering from surgery to repair a skull fracture after a man broke into their home in San Francisco and beat him with a hammer. More on these stories at townhall.com.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshare. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, CEO and founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare. In the process, started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. Timeshare is the only thing that you can buy that you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check to fill out any amount they want for annual maintenance and assessment fees. The crazy thing is, this never ends. Even when you die, your family's now going to be stuck with this burden. Stop the insanity today. Call my office now.
If we take you as a client, I guarantee we'll cancel your timeshare or you'll pay nothing.
Call for your free information kit. 800-626-5252. That's 800-626-5252. 800-626-5252. Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
There's more reaction to the recently released reading and math test scores from the National Assessment of Educational Progress. Heritage Foundation research fellow Jason Bedrick tells the Salem Radio Network that states with strong teachers unions overreacted in closing schools.
The schools tended to stay closed down longer, that the school closures were not correlated with the prevalence of COVID-19, but they were very strongly correlated with the prevalence of strong teachers unions.
Across the country, math scores saw their largest decreases ever among 4th and 8th grade students. Reading scores dropped to 1992 levels. Somalia's president says at least 100 people were killed in yesterday's 2 car bombings in the capital city. The Al-Shabaab extremist group has claimed responsibility. News and analysis at townhall.com. 9 days to the midterm elections, and Arizona's Republican Attorney General says county officials can hand count all ballots in at least five races.
The opinion gives a green light to GOP officials in at least two counties who've been clamoring for hand counts. The efforts are driven by concerns over election results back in 2020. The new Attorney General opinion led two Republicans on the three-member Cochise County Board of Supervisors to boost their plan to hand count some races in both early and Election Day ballots. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
Poland says it has chosen the U.S. government and Westinghouse to build its first nuclear power plant. The announcement is an important step in efforts by the Central European nation to burn less coal and gain greater energy independence. The Energy Department says the $40 billion project would create or sustain more than 100,000 American jobs. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
We're back, Sovereign Minds, home of Tree Fire Media, community radio for the North State, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. And we're going to do a little comedy thing here to maybe lighten the mood up before we get back into it. And you said you had an article to preface I Have a Babylon Bee clip here.
I do. This Babylon Bee video is going to be much more relevant after you hear this. So this was October 28th from Timcast. American Nurses Association want no restrictions on gender reassignment surgeries for minors. The American Nurses Association strongly opposes any legislation or policy action that places restrictions on transgender health care that criminalize gender-affirming care, the letter reads. So with that in mind...
Well, this is I'm not sure we go from the macabre to the from seriousness to maybe a little lightness here. This is from Babylon Bee. Mm-hmm. Women driving alone in a carpool lane claims preferred pronoun... And are we ready to go? Okay, here we go. I'm going to roll the tape.
What seems to be the problem, officer?
You've been driving in the carpool lane for the past 3 miles. Alone.
Alone? Well, you should know that my pronouns are they, them. So we can drive in the carpool lane.
Yeah, I got a driver out here in the carpool lane says her pronouns are they.
Excuse me, her?
All right, let's just get your license and registration, please. Ma'am, them, you. Can I say you?
You want me to provide photo ID? Racist much?
Okay, how about just a vaccine card, then?
Yeah, no problem. Got all my medical records right here. We were boosted 7 times. One for each of us. Anyway, it's all there. Are we free to go, sir?
Wait. I'm sorry, did you just, Did you just assume my gender? It's actually offensive to look at somebody and assume, by their appearance, that they are a man or a woman.
Man or woman? Now you're implicitly perpetuating the oppressive societal construct of the gender binary onto me, a victim of violent police aggression!
Please stop yelling! Verbal attacks are violence, which is triggering!
Trigger? Are you gonna shoot me? I literally can't even.
Don't you mean we?
Yeah, We literally can't even.
Saying you can't do something is ableist and mocks people that actually have a mental or physical disability.
We have a mental disability.
Well, I'm 1/1024th Navajo, and you're lucky that I'm giving you a fine and not kicking you off my ancestral land that you white colonizers stole from my people.
You can't fine we. That money funds police departments and perpetuates the terrorization of underprivileged communities and the expansion of the police state.
I need backup at the 405 in Santa Monica. They're getting away.
What, they? How many of them are there? Who's getting away?
They are. They are!
There's one little part here. Hold on.
Yeah, I can't make it. Got to heat him holding up a Zeezer and a Pizza Hut taco.
Oh, cool.
You know, it's funny, but it's true today.
That's the really
people.
Sad
part. Yeah, thank you. It's like, wow, well, that's so true.
If there was no truth in comedy, it probably wouldn't be funny. But
there was another one that was great, and it was satirical comedy writers have trouble keeping up with reality, and they're going through and trying to write all these scripts. They're like, no, that really happened this week. All right, how about this one? How about Joe Biden issuing out crack pipes to all the crack addicts? Wow. Like, nope, that happened too.
How do we get back to the founding documents after that?
That's more the reason to get back to those documents.
But not yet. But
okay,
not yet.
But not yet. Okay.
I'm a registered nurse, been a nurse for 28 years. I want you to clarify what you said that the California Nursing Association said.
Okay, so the American Nurses Association want no restriction on gender reassignment surgeries for minors.
Okay, so I can tell you as a registered nurse that I would refuse to ever take care of anybody, a minor, even if they had the consent of a parent to be associated and do anything to a minor. These doctors, these nurses, and other healthcare practitioners that are doing these to these children, I'm telling you that's the biggest violation of your rights. Not one of our first and most important responsibility as healthcare providers is to be your advocate and to do no harm and to allow laws and allow immoral thoughts to persuade people to teach kids that that's okay to do, that is not all right.
I don't think they've thought through the long-term implications, ramifications of what's going to happen when these people wake up in 10 or 15 years or before that and realize that they've been scarred for life, mutilated. Do you think they're not going to start suing people?
There was a young gal that they article in the paper in the Epic Time a few weeks ago, 15-year-old gal who went through this whole series of stuff, and now she's 18. Didn't take 10 years. She's 18. Realizes the mistake that was done.
They just ruined her life.
And that's what she said.
In so many ways.
And people don't realize it's not just transgender surgery that you're having. You now are going to be a recipient of hormonal drugs for the rest of your life. So now you're a big paycheck for other people because now you've been persuaded to try to be a male or try to be a female when you're not.
Almost sounds like farming in a different, not only, bizarre, macabre sort of way.
It actually sounds like Auschwitz and Buchenwald.
And mentally, what it does to these people is just.
Oh, they don't care.
The person themselves that go through that, like this 18-year-old she is now, mentally what she's dealing with, I mean, it's unbelievable.
In the Wall Street Journal the other day. So I read the Epic Times and the Wall Street Journal. In the Wall Street Journal, there was an article in there with the whole LGBTQ stuff. And we had our 10 and 12-year-old daughter read it with us. And the Wall Street Journal was saying that the people that they're preying on the most are the single parents, the people of the lower social economic classes, and they're targeting those individuals. Now, why our lawmakers aren't going after those doctors and nurses for trying to proliferate such a heinous crime on these people, It's nothing more than evil.
Well, you got the sheriffs or the police down in L.A. that have said that they're not committing a crime.
Right.
Because there's no law in the book, you know what, supposedly, for it.
This goes back to, I'm not sure who said it, I think it was Benjamin Franklin said that this, maybe it was Samuel Adams, I don't remember, but this government was made for a moral people and would be wholly inadequate for anybody else.
That was Ben Franklin.
Was that Ben Franklin? Yeah.
Well, I was talking to you about documents. Let me go through documents.
Okay, we got a caller. Should we do the caller, and then the documents, or should we go through the documents and then the caller?
Caller? Sure. All right. We've got Siskiyou Steve on the line. Good morning, Steve.
Got a couple minutes, Steve. Go ahead and make your point.
Yeah, real quick. I was trying to look it up on the phone on where the marriage license came from, because at one point I read that the marriage license started when the blacks became free, or the slaves became free, excuse me, and they wanted to keep track of who was interracial marrying. So they started the licensing of, slaves marrying whites. And the same thing with the gun permits. And I was trying to look it up and see if they show anything like that, and they don't. But that's another thing of suppressing real facts, which I can't prove or not, but I did read that somewhere at one point that that's where the licensing came from. And you know, my sweetie pie and I, we've been together 13 years, and I started thinking seriously about marriage, but I said, well, wait a minute. We don't need a permission from the state to get married. The same thing with the gun permit. And that's my point. And again, you guys, thanks so much for your show. You guys are really great.
All right, thank you, Steve.
Steve, hang on a second. This is Gary, and I just wanted to share with you what I learned about marriage. In the state of California, does not recognize marriage as a religious ceremony.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Oh, that goodness. Is a huge problem. Yeah. They do not. So, Steve, what I would tell you is that there are pastors in the state of California. I know there's pastors across this nation that are marrying people today without a marriage license. It additionally started off as a sacred commitment between the couple and God, and it's evolved now into a money-making scheme for the state of California and other states
across
the nation.
That's what it's supposed to be, is a commitment between you, your wife, and God.
But
it's not supposed to be a contract with the state, which is what it has become.
Absolutely. So, Steve, I'd say find a pastor that will marry you and just skip the paperwork.
All right. We do have another caller. We've got Andrew on the line. Good morning, Andrew.
Hey, hi, guys. Question and a comment.
All right.
The comment is, at 8 years old, I wanted to be a cowboy. I am not. I'm a mechanic now. Princesses, little girls want to be princesses, and that's just kind of a, they're not that now, even though we should treat them all that way. And then the other thing is there going to be any buses down to the court, Matsui Court, on that day?
On November 4th?
There will not, that I know of. That's a really expensive thing to do, and we're kind of getting to the bottom of our money pool. But I'm sure if you talk to your friends, a carpool could certainly be arranged. And please show up if you can. If you stand for your rights, it's important. And
I do.
We need to let them know.
They played Switcheroo before on us. Is there, I doubt the case is going to be heard on that day because of,
well,
they
already did one. It went from 10 a.m. to 9 a.m. I suspect this will happen on the 4th, and it's Friday, which is the day that typically the feds don't work. But there is a full calendar that day, and we are first. So I suspect that this will occur, and believe me, the state's intention is to kick this can down the road until I'm dead or I'm out of money. That's how they've been doing it in Miller, and the judge expressly rejected that. And in our filing, we state that if this court is intellectually honest, that they cannot deny our claim for a preliminary injunction because the unqualified command of the Second Amendment is clearly outside the bounds of California's permitting scheme and the ability of California government to restrict your right. You have a right. The Constitution says so. It's in plain English. The Bruin Court recognizes that that plain English means what it says it means, and it means what it says it meant to the founders when they enacted the provision, having just fought a war against their own government. We can win, and we will win. If I can afford to stay with this and you guys support us, we can win this.
So I guess we should do a plug for where you send the money.
Yeah, and it's, go ahead, Linda.
It's 14421 Old Oregon Trail, Suite B, Redding, California, 96003. Put in the memo 2A. And we want to say thank you to everybody that has contributed and
yes.
continued to contribute to the cause. We really appreciate it.
It is by the contributions of the people of the state of Jefferson that we've gotten this far.
Yes.
And believe me, if we can win this, we can win the rest of our liberty back. And the only way to do that, I believe, is to separate from those idiots in Sacramento who would steal your liberty.
We need to talk about that maybe on another day,
sure.
Of sedition and what they've done and how we could bypass them, like the West Virginia model, right. That type of thing. Right. But let's get back to
Do you have anything else, Andrew, before we move on?
Yeah, actually I do. I did not keep track of this latest year's 800 bills and laws they put in there. I can steal. Now, is it against the law while protesting to bring my firearm? I won't go in the building
It is currently against the law to openly possess or carry any weapon, loaded or unloaded, in the city, in the state of California. It is against the law.
Okay, well, I paid the permit and so forth and so on. What I mean is, when you're, you know, on the sidewalk outside, I can't go in the building, I understand.
You mean your concealed carry weapon?
Yes.
Yeah, you can possess your concealed carry weapon, but you can't go anywhere near the building with it because that's considered a sensitive place.
Mm-hmm. Okay, near the building means the sidewalk outside?
I think the sidewalk outside is okay because there's no distance requirement, and especially concealed carry is exempt from the 1,000 feet from the school and so on and so forth if you have one of California's concealed carry permissions.
Plus, you can
possess your concealed carry weapon on the sidewalk, but don't go anywhere near the courthouse because they will arrest you.
Well, they do have a screening process there, too, don't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, they will.
And the courthouse.
Oh, sure, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Hey, thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling in.
All right.
So here's one of the thoughts that I've been thinking, too, that I think would be a really cool lawsuit is based upon the fact of sensitive buildings. Right now, it's already been ruled before the Supreme Court multiple times that the police have no obligation to protect you.
That's right.
However, based upon that, if they take away your means of protection via the Second Amendment and say that you cannot have these in those sensitive places, it would be interesting to then have a lawsuit that would compel them to take on the burden of the fact
that
since they've deprived
you of your
rights.
I think that's what this lawsuit is about.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we allege that the government has no duty to protect under California Government Code 821, 845, and 846. And under Warren versus D.C., Risk versus New York, Martinez versus California, Ballesteri versus Pacifica Police Department, I could go on and on with Supreme Court cases, Satano v. Mass, so on and so forth. The government has no duty, no responsibility to protect you from crime or violence or anything else for that matter, nor will they suffer liability for failing to protect you. In other words, if I was a cop, and I used to be a cop, so I kind of know this, and 11 people were across the street beating you to death with a lead pipe, I could not be held liable for failing to intervene in that fight. And when you think about it, that in some ways that makes sense, because if I got into that fight and they got my gun and killed me too, now they'd have a gun to go shoot people with. And also, in order for the government to protect you, they'd have to be omniscient and omnipresent, which they are not. And so if I was over saving Mark from an armed robber, but I failed to save you across town, you could sue me for failing to save you. I mean, these things are all correct. But remember, the first police department wasn't instituted until like 1844, and even then they weren't allowed to have guns because we counted on citizen intervention with their firearms, openly carried, by the way.
Well, and that's the crux of the matter.
That's the whole crux of the
matter. Do you have the right to defend yourself with a firearm?
Not in California, you don't.
Well, and we talk.
You do have, but if you exercise it, you're going to get a suit with stripes on.
That's kind of like the magic gun. You have the right to protect yourself, but you don't have the right to carry.
Well, and that's what the judge said. Well, we have an exemption for lethal force that you can in 25850, but that's not an exemption. It's an affirmative defense. And our response to that was, well, Your Honor, where did the magic gun come from? Because I could have been arrested for leaving my house with it. And at any rate, that is not an exemption to the law. It's simply an affirmative defense. I used the gun to defend my life. Where did you get the gun? Well, I don't know. I put my hand in my pocket and all of a sudden it was there. And then the court will still decide, well, you shouldn't have had the gun to start with, therefore you're going to jail for killing the...
We should write a book, Catch Caliber 22.
Well, it is, yeah.
Let's go back to the documents
with Gary now.
Thank you. And these are all wonderful discussions. And to that other gentleman who called in, I want you to know that I always thought that I was going to grow up and be Baltimore Colts quarterback... what was his name? Johnny Unitas. I thought I was going to be Johnny Unitas' replacement.
Didn't have the stature, though.
I stopped growing at 5'6" and a half, maybe 5'6" and three quarters, and so I had to come up with something else to do.
But you know, if you get an outfit, you can be a football player, too.
That's right.
You can be whatever you'd like to be.
Thank you very much, you guys. You now make me feel much better.
In men's or women's league.
That's right.
That's right. Whatever your heart
desires. I just had to digress a little bit there. So we have the Declaration of Independence. We have the Constitution and Bill of Rights. There's another document that is read in the Senate every year on Washington's birthday, and that is his farewell address to the American people. Mm-hmm. That address is so important, and in that address teaches us how we need to combat the evil that's happening in the world today. We don't want to hear it. I didn't want to hear it up until 5 years ago because I was in that list of bad. Still not perfect, but never will be. But in his address, he says, of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports.
Amen.
Where is the security for property, for reputation, for life, if the sense of religious obligations desert the oaths, which are the instruments of investigation in courts of law? And let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. So I was sitting in my hot tub. I got out of nursing actually 3 years ago, and I sell hot tubs now. Sitting in my hot tub the other morning, and I was thinking about laws. And I was thinking about the laws that it took to create the fiberglass and maintain that tub and all the electronics, all the laws that we use throughout the world to make things. There's the airways, the technology we have. All of these laws that we abide by, the laws of the Constitution, but we don't practice one set of laws, and that's the laws of God. The Ten Commandments, if you were just to keep it the Ten Commandments.
Keep it. Well, I mean, you can even keep it simpler than that. The Golden Rule is a pretty good
start. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, also, the founders recognized that nature, the laws of nature and of nature's God come from God himself and were given to us. And so in order to follow moral law, you have to recognize there is a moral law giver. And when you live in the state of California, which is ruled by godless men and women who reject objective morality, in other words, those morals given by the law giver of the universe, then all bets are off, and you can get underage kids, and you can cut off their boy parts if you want to, and you can teach baby children that they really are a girl even though they're a boy, or they're really a boy even though they're a girl, and you can murder your own child in the womb, and in fact, there is nothing that is off the table to these people because they've turned their back on the Lord God Almighty, and we will be judged for that if we don't stand up.
I want to say something just a little bit on that. I think it's even beneficial for the people who don't have a huge religious belief. And I'll say, and this is why. I believe all what you said is true, but I also believe that just following those rules creates a civil society. And if those rules, the only one that can take them away is God, it protects them from all of the people that are in power, the men that will usurp these laws for their own benefit. So to have any kind of a moral society, you have to have a standard of rules that everybody wants to follow, like, do not kill, do not covet thy neighbor's wife, that type of thing. But I suggest that they have another religion. See, they're not against all religions. They're against the religion of Christendom. I'll tell you what, we were up there on the floor of the Board of Supervisors a few weeks ago, and the guy said, "Hell, Satan." And that was the guy that the district attorney was protecting prior to. So what I'm saying is that it really comes down to a good versus evil situation. And you can either follow the laws that protect you and your fellow man and create a civil society, or you can follow the other chaos that turns into what we have now, which is completely uncivilized.
Well, it's all man-made. It's all man-made.
The standard of living goes down. Worse, gets worse and worse and worse, and everybody's at each other's throats.
But I've said this in 100 speeches. It is irrelevant to this discussion whether you personally or your family are Christians.
Exactly.
But you must recognize that the foundation of this nation was by Christian men and women with Christian principles, and I can prove that in 1,000 speeches, 1,000 letters, 1,000 documents, in 1,000 different ways. And if you call in and you doubt that, I'll give
you
the proof.
And you know what's what's undeniable is those set of rules has made this nation the most prosperous nation in the history of the world. So why would you not want to follow those rules in the first place, religious bent or not?
Well, that is the open question. And the state of California is a state founded by Christian men and women based on Christian principles. And I can prove that in 1,000 documents, 1,000 letters, and 1,000 speeches. And so those moral objectives are the ones that work the best in the civilized world. We've proven that. This is the greatest form of government known to man. It's lifted more people out of poverty and injustice than any other government formed.
Until we stopped following the plan.
Exactly.
Until man started interjecting their idea and their feeling into that plan.
And to that point as well, the most common response that I hear from people is a misquote about the separation of church and state.
Yeah, one letter to the Danbury Baptist Society and the whole thing goes out the window.
It's
but
not even in the Constitution.
It's not even in the Constitution at all. And the first document we ever signed as a nation was a peace treaty with Great Britain. And what's the first line in it? By the most holy and undivided Trinity, we formed this peace treaty. I mean, I can prove it from the very first document we signed.
I want to go back to Gary here.
We also have to take a break. So, again, I'm sorry, Gary. Do we want to go to you or go to the break and then let you have the floor?
We can do a break.
Because we have a lot of powerful personalities here, obviously.
So we'll go to a break, and when we come back, we will give you the floor to go ahead and go through some more of your information.
Sounds great. Thank you.
You bet. You're listening to KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
This book is Messages and Papers of the Season.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
What is happening in the state? state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about
crazy lately, I'm confirming, trying to rob myself of something. You just trying to get a word, and life is not fair. I've been working on my tunnel vision, trying to get a new prescription, taking swings and even missing, but I don't care. I'm staying some more, just a little bit.
North State. Geez, I'm back at the office now. North State. No, you're listening to Sovereign Mind Radio in the North State.
Skip a few beats.
Oh, I had three or four things going on in my mind.
We always got something going on. But we're back.
We're back. And wow.
And wow is we're just gonna let Gary run for a little bit. How's that?
I think everybody's got to kind of bite their lips.
Okay, everybody be quiet for a few minutes. Gary's got a few things he wants to get out there.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me on today, and I really appreciate all your knowledge and the wisdom that you share with all of us, and so I do appreciate it. So I just want to read a little excerpt, another excerpt from George Washington's farewell address, because it talks about education and why it's so important. It is substantially true that virtue or morality is a necessary spring of popular government. The rule, indeed, extends with more or less force to every species of free government. Who that is a sincere friend to it can look with indifference upon attempts to shake the foundation of the fabric. Promote, then, as an object of primary importance, institution for the general diffusion of knowledge. Knowledge is so important to us, and you were so correct that the whole church, the whole issue of the separation of church and state came from a letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote to the Dansbury Baptist Church. Mm-hmm. And everybody since then has said that you've got to separate religion from everything that we do. That's not the case.
Well, and even in that letter, he was actually telling them, and it was to the Dansbury Church, he was telling them that Congress or the House, anybody, should make no laws pertaining to the church.
Right.
They should make no laws governing what they can or cannot say. That was the original intent of the letter.
It's a restriction on the government, not the people.
Because, that's correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
Go ahead.
So I wanted to – I collect old books, and I've got an old book that is titled The Messages and Papers of the Presidents. And I brought this with me today because it's so important to me that I think that the way that we're going to win these help these judges understand where they are in the process of promoting evil is we have to call them out on the evil. We have to show them that what they're doing is wrong. And the guidelines that we have on that are the laws of God. And I don't, to me, that's where it's come down to. You either fight with the knowledge that we're working under the power of God, our country was founded on it, and if we don't enforce that with their leaders, if they can't walk that line, then they need to get out. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to share with you something because it counters the argument that there needs to be this huge separation of church and state. This is a letter, a proclamation, a national thanksgiving. And this is what it says. Whereas it is the duty of, and this is from George Washington. George Washington wrote this. And this is why people want to take George Washington out of the equation. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have, by their joint committee, requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. I won't read you the rest of it, but it is an amazing proclamation that Congress, that our Congress asked him to read to the American people.
And is that not a book that was taught in our public education system at some point?
Yes, and I will tell you this also. I didn't bring it with me, but I have a 1920 State of California stamped history book. And in the preface it says, the fate of our nation relies, in a real sense, relies on our ability to teach our children are national history.
Well,
this is the kind of stuff that our schools have taken out. This is what our government has taken out. You take out all this foundational blocks, and then you end up with a guy that thinks he's a woman and a woman who thinks he's a man, and we're going to pay for them to have some type of a sexual surgery. That's how bad that we've become. Now, none of us walk on water. I don't. But we've got to get back to our foundational Christian beliefs and values, and we have to demand that our leaders are truthful, that they don't lie, they don't cheat, and they honor that oath of office to preserve, protect, and defend the U.S. Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And can I share one more thing with you, and then I will let you guys talk. I want to share one more thing, and especially with you.
And while you're looking for that, the copyright on the book that he was reading is 1897, just so you know.
This is a paper, the Epoch Times. And in this paper, this was dated the October 26th, November 1st, 2022. And in it, it reads, the headline says, talk of EU-style governance of the Americas resides, raises red flags with congressmen. So we all understand what the European Union is, right?
Yeah.
The European Union is a regional organization of the UN. That's what this argument and this whole article is about, creating that same type of union here in America. So when we lose our Second Amendment rights to just defend ourselves, we don't have the right, we won't have the ability to defend ourselves against a foreign entity as the UN or any other form of government that wants to come in, usurp our Constitution, and take over and say we are now an American union similar to the European Union.
Well, and to that note, too, just our ability to come on here and speak openly and to share our thoughts. There is already the thought police in the European Union. There are people.
They're already here.
Yeah. Right.
Well, there are people actively being arrested for retweeting things over there. I've watched videos of people
They're doing it here. We already have Chinese police departments over here. Not only that, I mean, they've arrested Roger Stone. They've arrested, the other general, I'm trying to think of his name, Flynn. They've been going through anybody who has the supporter of Trump to try to arrest them. They've sent out. I've seen where the FBI is now going out and monitoring all of the disinformation.
Well, look at the MyPillow guy and the doctor that was here. And
they're already here.
Yeah.
Now the question is, are we going to stand for it and or put a stop to it?
And that's why this Second Amendment can't be, that has to stay intact. And their argument right now is public safety. We have to protect our children, right? Right now the CDC has 18 different studies out there costing multiple millions of dollars, and not one of them focus on what I've read to you today about religion and morality.
We need to protect our children while we mutilate them.
Well, that's correct.
Mind you, that was Hitler's exact argument. That was Hitler's exact argument. We need to protect our children, so you need to disarm yourself.
Justice Thomas in the Bruin Court expressly rejected public safety as a method to destroy enumerated rights. And he said that there are many enumerated rights that have public safety concerns. The Second Amendment is not a second-class right. It deserves the same treatment that all the rest do. So you have to ask yourself, what is this government, what is this I don't know, Mexico's president said he has been in discussions with U.S. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken about the possibility of merging the American continent into the EU style of governance. That's a pilot's trick, reading upside down.
You
by
did
the way.
A great job.
But the point is that there are many amendments to the Constitution, and it's interesting to me the ones the government wants to destroy. People say, well, the Constitution is outdated and we need to change it and it needs to reflect modern values. Okay, so which part is it you want to change? You want to change the part where the president serves for 4 years? You want to change the part where Congress negotiates treaties? Do you want to change the part where the House serves for 2 years? Which part do you want to change? I know the only part they're interested in changing is the part where the people of this nation are guaranteed the rights to do certain things, and the government is guaranteed not to interfere in those things, and that's the Bill of Rights. The progressive socialist, the secular humanist, the godless ones want to change the part where your God-given rights are taken from you, and even judges in federal court, and I've been in federal court many, many times, more times than I care to admit, and I've had judges say, there's no such thing as a God-given right. There are only constitutional rights, which infer that rights are given you by government, and what government gives, government can take away, modify, or restrict.
That's kind of why I take a front at civil rights, just the term civil rights, civil rights are indicator that the rights came from government, not God. That's why the God-given rights thing, and that's why they always push civil rights, and those rights are in a lot of cases a reflection of the Bill of Rights, but the Bill of Rights is not granted from government. It is granted from God. That's a big difference.
Once these rights transfer to government, then it becomes a human right to be able to abort your own child.
Right.
And that goes against the God-given right to life.
Well, because, if government gives you your rights, government can take away your rights.
I've had judges in federal court say the Constitution doesn't apply in my courtroom. I've had federal court judges say the Constitution means whatever I say it means.
I've had them say say that right here in Shasta County over a ticket. I said I want to invoke my right to jury trial, and she says, well, I don't interpret the Constitution to say that says basically anything over a $25 controversy or whatever it is.
Right.
And she goes, I don't interpret that way. Move on. That's it.
With no recourse. So where we are now is we need to invoke these rights, we need to mean it, we need to stand for them, and we need to ensure that the courts are well instructed by the people, because Article 3 of the United States Constitution says all matters of equity and law are invested in one, Supreme Court, and other such inferior courts as Congress may appoint from time to time. Well, the Supreme Court has spoken. You have the right to keep and bear arms. That right shall not be infringed. And the Constitution means what it says it does. The plain text of the amendment complies with the individual's conduct. It is presumptively constitutional. And the Second Amendment is not a second-class right. It is on the same tier as all the other enumerated rights. And we need to force that issue and make sure. And look, I'll talk about your tactical advantage to concealed carry all day if you want to. But it doesn't matter to me. because it isn't my right. Peruta v. San Diego says concealed carry is not a right. It's a permission. Governments can restrict it, ban it, do whatever they want. California is doing that with reckless abandon, including you will have to take a moral turpitude interview, maybe with a psychiatrist, before you can get a concealed carry permit, unless you can bribe the sheriff into giving you one anyway, which is possible. It happens in a few counties. But open carry is the right enumerated in the Constitution. It is the right that God gave you. It is your natural right to self-defense that belongs to all human beings, whether they engage in society or not, whether they're involved under government rule or not. That is your right as a human being to defend yourself, your family, your community, your state, and your nation. We need to press that right, period. And we need to abandon this notion, oh, we can make concealed carry okay. We can fix concealed carry. It's not a right, and the state will ensure that it never is. Open carry is your right. We need to make up our mind to that and win this case, because if we can win this one, we can win more, and we can restore our liberty, and we can do it in the state of California, and their heads will explode once we do it.
And it's true. You have to go. You have to do those things, and it's the same thing with this resolution. You have to get these things passed. And what the government doesn't understand, they don't understand people like me. I am a law-abiding, try to be the best Christian person that I can. But I have certain rights, and I don't care what law you create. The Constitution gave me those rights, and you don't get to take them away just because you had some fancy law degree that wrote something up that takes it away. So what our government does not understand is that there are millions and millions of law-abiding citizens that when you create us to become felons, it's going to be a bad day. Because of my association with, I'm a nurse, and so I teach medical stuff to the local militia down in Cottonwood. I had the FBI come into my store for 3 hours and talk to Wendy and I for 3 hours about our involvement. And we told them, you have nothing to worry about, the people up here in Northern California. We're not going to do anything. I said, but if you back us in a corner, if you create another Concord in Lexington event where you come to take our arms and our guns, then it's going to be a bad day. Both of those officers agreed with us. It was a wonderful conversation. We left amicably, and it was perfect. But people need to realize that that Second Amendment was put in there for our defense against tyranny. Mm-hmm. And we're ruled, hopefully we'll have good people who follow the First Amendment that will have guns, that will use those guns only when needed.
Well, that's why it's so important at the local level to get people elected to the Board of Supervisors, to the city councils, to all your local elected positions, whether it's the Register's Office of Voters, whether it's the Superintendent of Schools, whether it's the DA, which, by the way, all are held by Democrats in this county. Right. And so I think we need to fix the vote as well. But we have to solve this problem locally, get control of the local politics, and then we can start doing something for the state and for the nation.
But how fast will it roll if you've got Mark working at the state level and we're working at the county level and you're pressuring them from both sides and you get the ruling at the state level? How fast do you think California will flip?
Well, I don't know that they'll flip at all. I think what they're going to do is you're going to see when we win this case, and no intellectually honest court can argue with this.
Right.
And they won't argue with it very far above Judge Mueller, I don't think. There is no possibility, no hope for them to succeed in this case.
At the Supreme Court level, if they try to take it up.
Because
that was one of the greatest things that Trump did, was actually get that Supreme Court in order.
Oh, amen to that. But we have this preliminary injunction, which we intend to appeal to the Ninth Circuit, and we can appeal only the preliminary injunction. We don't have to appeal the case. That puts us at the head of the line, because this is emergency in nature. And if the Ninth Circuit rejects it, we can appeal the preliminary injunction to the United States Supreme Court, and we skip to the head of the line.
So I want to clarify what a preliminary injunction is for the
preliminary
people.
Injunction bars and enjoins the state of California from enforcing Penal Code 25850, the open carry of a loaded weapon, and 26350.
Is that a permanent ban until it's heard in another court?
It is a temporary and a permanent ban until the case itself has completed its journey through the courts, and that may well become permanent once we ask for a summary judgment. Because look, the state's admitted everything in the case. There's nothing left to discover. There are no more witnesses to interview. They're wrong. They're
so
right.
This prevents them from slow walking the thing forever.
Well, what we have is the conduct we desire. While they slow walk it, they can right. slow walk it for
well,
50 years.
Justice denied is
they,
justice denied.
They won't you know. Slow walk it if this PI is granted, because it'll be in their interest to try to resolve the case in their favor while we enjoy the right to openly carry.
Right.
But this case is watershed because it shows the people of the state of California that we can regain our liberty in a peaceful manner, in a legal, ethical, and moral manner.
Which is the right way to do it.
It is. And yeah. this is the option open to us. There are other options, including the right to revolt as codified in the Declaration of Independence. But this is not a bad way to go.
Right.
And the problem with court is you got to pay.
It's a lot less bloody.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, a lot less lives at risk.
Yeah.
This way.
Amen. Yeah.
Meanwhile, too, as for what's at stake, too, this came out on October 26. U.S. citizens were secretly surveilled during COVID and given decree violation scores used by politicians. Voter analytics firm PredictWise harvested location data from tens of millions of U.S. cell phones during the initial COVID lockdown months and used this data to assign a COVID-19 decree violation score on the people associated with those phones.
Well, here's what's even worse. Twice in California in the last 12 months, the data of all firearms owners and all concealed carry
yep.
weapons permit
have
holders
compromised.
Have been released to the yep. public yep. in violation of not only California's law, but California's constitution. And so if you can't trust the government with your own private information, why in the living hell would you go beg them for permission?
Well, they're completely lawless in Sacramento. And we've got about 6 minutes. So
that's
Gary,
okay.
Go
Gary's,
go
quick. Gary's got go some
I
more here.
I want to share another reason why we go. Have to keep this Second Amendment. This was in Round Mountain. This was a police report from October 27th. Shasta County officials have arrested a felon in possession of firearms in Round Mountain. Deputies report they found a fully automatic 223 caliber AR-15, a loaded bolt action 308 caliber rifle, a loaded semi-automatic 9mm pistol, 530 round high capacity AR-15 magazines, and a large amount of 223 ammunition. That's a felon. So they can create all the laws they want, and these people still have arms. Yet they want to take our arms away from us so we can't protect ourselves.
I got a question in the chat room that they're bugging me a little bit about. Are you still flying as a fire pilot? A fire suppression pilot?
Yeah.
How old are you, Mark?
Seven.
I mean, that was kind of bold. He's old enough.
I'm older than I once was and not as old as I'm going to be.
Well, just so you know, I this year, in another month, I'll have my 34th anniversary and my 30th birthday.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, before we end here, I want to say thank you to both of you for coming in. Love to have you back. It is on November 4th at 9 a.m.
501 I Street in Sacramento. The courtroom is like way up. Look for Judge Mueller's courtroom. I don't remember what floor it's on.
I think it's on the third floor, I think.
Look, please help us. This is a very expensive deal. We're running out of money. Please help us. And Linda can give you the address.
14421 Old Oregon Trail, Suite B, Redding, California, 96003. Any last words?
No, thank you very much for letting me come on. I just hope that
anytime
I'll get back to our Christian roots.
Well, now's the time to dip into your pockets, folks. This is like the 11th hour. This is when we need you to step up. It, you know, there's a lot of things on the line here. Our freedoms across the border are under attack in so many different ways. So you need to step up if you can and send some money to help this cause.
Doesn't matter if it's only $5 here. It's whatever you can give.
You can give
makes a big difference. Yes. For this case, because I've seen it make a big difference.
Amen.
For everything.
Yes, it does.
So we got about 3 minutes or 2 minutes or something here.
Well,
any last thoughts from anybody?
Get out and vote on voting day on November 8th. Go in person, please.
If you surrender your ballot, write surrendered in big black ink so they can't reuse the ballot again, because I don't trust these guys as far as I can throw them.
And keep questioning the elections office and the process
keep
and what's going
on.
Keep the pressure going on to even the Board of Supervisors with resolutions like the Second Amendment and stuff. Keep the pressure on, folks. We need it.
It's up to us. If we don't do something to restore the government that our fathers gave us, then shame on us, because we'll have only ourselves to blame for the fortunes of our children.
Yep. That's right. And we have all the power.
And do you want to fight now so your kids won't have to fight? Or yes. are you going to look at your shoes and then your kids will have to fight for their survival?
They said, let it come in my day. And this is... And no doubt about it, this is a battle between good and evil.
Yes.
This is a battle between the good and the globalists that literally want to enslave you and have you own nothing.
And we are so much like our founding fathers in the time period that they lived and the tyranny that they were under and the tyranny that we are under. We are we're in the same boat as them, and we have an opportunity to follow their wonderful example, and I hope that we do.
I'm hearing soft music in the background.
I think we're at the end again. Thank you guys. Anytime, let me know. We'll bring you in.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. And we'll see you next week.
All right.
All gun control is racist. Lying up, no ceiling when we in our zone. I got that sunshine in my pocket. Got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops. Ooh, I can't take my eyes off of it. Moving so phenomenally. Come on, like the way we rock it. So don't stop. It's under the lights when everything goes. Nowhere to hide when I'm getting you close. When you dance, 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 feel a good creeping up on you. So just dance, 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 come on. All those things I shouldn't do, but you dance, dance, dance. And ain't nobody leaving soon, so keep dancing. I can't stop the feeling. So just dance, dance, dance. So just dance, dance, dance. Brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice, Shasta Regional Medical Center.